Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Revelation chapter 21. Hear now the word of God. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, Come, hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. And on the west, three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names, of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall, if it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Here ends the reading of the word of God. May you receive it as such as it is expounded today. You may be seated. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are about to come before the preached word of God. And it is your word. May it be received as such as I seek to open up truth that I fear would not want to be heard in many churches. May this church not be one of them. Help us, Lord, to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, even to this church, even to each one of us, as I try and hold forth your illuminating word that can sober us to the very depth of our being. Help us by your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Although I have just read the entire 21st chapter of Revelation in your hearing, I do not intend to consider the entire chapter. But I read the entire chapter so that you heard the context in which one of the most sobering and revealing verses in the entire and only written word of God, the Holy Bible, is found. Especially in light of the times the living, true, and only God of the Scriptures has decreed for you and I to be living in. And the fact that God alone knows how many in lost pagan America would chafe and get annoyed at being told that this sobering and revealing verse applies to them simply shows how important it is for those who confess to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, how important it is for you, believer, if you confess Christ, to realize and remember that Jesus revealed the truth of this one verse for your edification and for your instruction. If you confess Jesus as your only Lord and Savior in this place of public worship today, this is a verse that Jesus wants you to hear. The sobering but revealing verse that I want to direct your attention to in this message, if you have not already figured this out, is verse 8. My intention, Lord willing, is to consider the verses that follow verse 8 next Sunday. But this morning, my intention is to focus on, as I said, on the sobering but truth-revealing verse of Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And don't fail to notice how John introduces this sobering but truth revealing verse. Because after John pictures truths ahead, which really encompass the bulk of this chapter, as John has revealed to him truths ahead for true regenerate believers in the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 1 to 7 of this 21st chapter, how do you know that he's being guided by God the Holy Spirit to soberingly illuminate your mind with different revealed truth? Well, what is the first word of verse 8? But. But. What's but? It's a simple conjunction. It's a simple conjunction. It is a simple joining word introducing the soul sobering contrast between the truth revealed and declared in verses 1 to 7 and the truth revealed and declared in verse 8. What is the conjunction? What is the joining word that does this at the beginning of verse 8? As I said, it's the word but. Because what John declares to you after this simple conjunction in this one verse, he declares to you the soberingly different destiny for those he lists, who show that by how he describes them, that they are not true born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the glorious truths of verses 1 to 7 apply. Oh, what a sobering contrast introduced after this simple word, but, in this one verse. And I would say that here in this one verse, you have another example of the fact received by faith that John is being guided by God the Holy Spirit
to write what he does in just this one verse, because no non-Holy Spirit-inspired natural man would write and reveal what John writes and reveals in just this one verse. In both universal and particular ways about those who are not true believers in the only Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, let's be honest. This is not a verse that tickles your ears. This is not a verse that tickles your ears. But it is truth that your Lord and Savior, believer, wants you to know, or John would never have had it revealed to him or written it down for the churches of Christ. Is this an easy verse to preach on? No. No. Because dare I be honest with you? How easy it would have been for me to have said to myself, Johnson, you've already dealt with this verse. You don't need to return to it particularly. Move on! Why return to it? Because dare I say, if ever there was a time when the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be reminded of the truth of this one verse, today is that time. Because I don't think I'm incorrect in saying that this one verse, lost souls will never hear expounded on in Mr. Smiley's false church. If I was a betting man, I'd be willing to put money on that. They'll never preach on this verse. Because as I said, this verse doesn't tickle your ears. Now, last Sunday, I used the term serious thanksgiving. Are you seriously thankful for the book of Revelation? Are you seriously thankful for the book of Revelation as it reveals things no other book reveals? Oh, the sobering, hear me carefully, the sobering clarity of the book of Revelation. Did I just hear the preacher correctly? The sobering clarity of the book of Revelation. Revelation is one of the most difficult books to understand in the Bible. Yes, there are sections of this book that are hard to understand because of the imagery used, and I've considered most of them in previous messages. The apocalyptic pictures of yet to take place human history from John's perspective, that only the passage of these events in history enables them to be seen correctly. Due to the Lord's sovereignty over human history, because history is ultimately his story. Because if you want a two-word explanation for the book of Revelation, Jesus wins. But the book of Revelation not only has revealed in powerful apocalyptic pictures much that has already taken place in actual human history, it also reveals what takes place at the end of human history. Truth revealed, but yet to be fulfilled, for if it was fulfilled, you would not be listening to me today. And seeking to expound on one of the most sobering verses in the scriptures. Seeking to expound on one of the most sobering aspects of this end of history as we know it, reality. Reality that this woke, but spiritually deaf, blind, and dead generation needs to face before it becomes reality for them. Which leads me to ask you a question. Is the reason that so many say that the book of Revelation is too difficult to understand and therefore ignore it, Not because it's impossible to understand if effort is applied to understand it correctly, but because they do not want to face and believe what is so clearly revealed about them in verse 8 of Revelation 21. Because what does Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 reveal? It reveals that there is a soberingly different eternal destiny for those described in this one verse in contrast to what lies ahead for true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, revealed in the verses that precede and follow this one verse. Verse 8, Revelation 28 verse 8 reveals the different eternal destiny of those John lists in this one verse in sobering contrast to true regenerate believers in the only Savior of sinful mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ. A new heaven and new earth for true believers in this lost world's only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, where there will be no more death. Where there will be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, versus the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death for all those who are not. These last two chapters of Revelation are gloriously illuminating about the destiny ahead for true confessing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. But friends, they are also soberingly illuminating for those who are not. So whereas I would disagree with those who say the book of Revelation cannot be understood correctly, I would agree with those like the Apostle Paul who says, who is sufficient for these things? Not this preacher. Who is sufficient to consider the crystal clear verses in Revelation, like verse 8 of Revelation 21, that reveals the eternal destiny of all those who are ashamed of the person, the words, and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for his believing people? Last Sunday I asked you, are you seriously thankful for the book of Revelation? Why? Just using Revelation 21 to show what I mean. What do you read in the first seven verses of Revelation 21? You have truth revealed that true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can feed their redeemed souls on as they fight the good fight of the faith once delivered to the saints. About the coming new heaven and new earth. Something we saw reflected on that wife's testimony from Fox's Book of Martyrs. But as I said, what word begins verse 8? It's the word but. And what follows the but? Truth about those for whom the truths of verses 1 to 7 do not apply. The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then notice briefly that from verses 9 to verse 26 of this 21st chapter, you have more glorious truth revealed for true believers in God, as John is given more imagery regarding things that lie ahead for true confessing believers in Christ when he returns. But then the chapter ends with what? Verse 27, describing those for whom these glorious revealed truths do not apply. And there shall in no wise enter in into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book. Oh, the sobering illumination of the book of Revelation is seen in verse 8 and verse 27 of Revelation 21. An awe-inspiring contrast continued in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 22. Truth applicable to you, believer, if you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior in this place of public worship. Verses 1 to 14 of Revelation 22. And then that sobering contrast. concerning those to whom these truths do not apply. Revelation 22:15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Friends, outside of the words of Jesus in the four biblical gospels, you have more revealed to you and declared to you about the eternal destiny of both believers and non-believers in the book of Revelation than any other book in the Bible. I repeat, is a reason that so many say the book of Revelation is too difficult to understand. It's not because it is, with some serious study, but because they do not want to believe and face the sobering illumination it gives about the eternal destiny of those who do not flee in true repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ in comparison to those who do. Oh, the sobering illumination of this one verse. Now, this verse is soberingly illuminating for two reasons that I want to lay before you today. First, for its universality and its particularity. I'll explain. And second, for its clear declaration of the destination for whom this universality and particularity apply. To see what I mean by these two points, truth I will return to in more detail, just take the eight types of impenitent, unbelieving sinners that are listed in this one verse and read each of them without the other seven. But the fearful shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But the abominable shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But murderers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But whoremongers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But sorcerers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But idolaters shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The sobering illumination of this one verse, as it reveals both the universality as well as revealing the particularity of those whose destiny is the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, unless they repent and believe the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why? Why do I mean by the first part of my first heading, its sobering universality, before considering its sobering particularity? What do I mean by the sobering universal application and illumination of this one verse? You have revealed to you truth that is applicable to all sinners without exception. You have truth applicable to all unredeemed and unsaved sinners without exception in this one verse. And as I will show later, truth that is applicable to particular sinners in this one verse. All unsaved sinners without exception are fearful, unbelieving, idolatrous, liars. Every unsaved sinner displays these things in various and different ways, but every unsaved sinner is not abominable or a sorcerer, as I will show. Every unsaved sinner is not guilty of being a sorcerer. But every unsaved sinner displays their idolatry and unbelief in the saving gospel of Christ in some way. But all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, because all unsaved sinners have either lied or are presently willfully believing something that is not true and having no problem in passing on that which is false to others. Dare I give but one example? He's a so-called doctor. His last name begins with an F. He's a liar! And if he doesn't repent, his destiny is the lake of fire. Passing on that which is false to others. Oh, if lost sinners would only face how clearly they all display their sinfulness. And what it means for them is revealed in this one verse. They would not be saying the book of Revelation is hard to understand. They would hopefully face that their ongoing fear in confessing Christ personally, in being afraid to personally confess that they believe everything Jesus says about himself and all things, reveals that they are one of the fearful John is referring to. Whose part is the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death? Because when John writes fearful, he's not writing about all the phobias, about all the fears both believers and non-believers have about many things. Apparently there are over 400 recognized phobias. He's not talking about the fears that even believers can have about innocuous things like spiders. John is not referring to those fearful about going bungee jumping. A sane fear. He is referring to lost sinners. He is referring to lost sinners afraid to personally and publicly confess the truth revealed and declared about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures because of what it might cost them in this temporary world. I'm afraid to confess Christ personally and publicly because it might cost me my friends. It might cost me my job. It might cost me my freedom. It might cost me my life. Mark 8:38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And he will say, depart from me, ye cursed. Fearful to confess Christ Jesus as Lord because of the consequences of doing so in time, but not on Judgment Day. Comfortable 21st century believer, remember the difference between life and death in the idolatrous Roman world was one word. Confessing Caesar as Lord or Christ as Lord. How many believers are in prison in places like North Korea and China because they are not afraid of confessing Christ Jesus as Lord, regardless of what it is temporarily costing them in this dying world? Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, and then raise them from hell and cast them into the lake of fire. Friends, what does the level of fear displayed over what has been called a virus say about those who profess to be Christian? Would they be willing to personally confess without fear that Christ Jesus is their Lord and Savior if it becomes more costly than it ever has in America to do so? Especially for those who think they will be raptured out before having to make such a confession means having to decide between confessing Christ as Lord and keeping their widescreen TV. But the fearful, those afraid to be known as true confessing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Second universal sinner that this one verse soberingly illuminates as having their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, but the unbelieving. But the unbelieving. Oh, how many foolishly and dangerously think that their unbelief in the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a minor thing. That it's even a mark of wisdom and intelligence. You believe the truth revealed in that antiquated book? You believe the saving gospel of Christ? Well, if it turns your crank, good for you, but it doesn't turn mine. Oh, that every unbelieving sinner would honestly face what verse 8 is telling them, what it is revealing about them. Your unbelief, unless you repent of your unbelief, is not the new heaven and new earth, despite what apostate and dangerous preachers say at too many funerals in idolatrous America, who have given death-frightened unbelievers the idea that all anyone needs to do, even an unbeliever has to do to be received by God safely, is physically die. Despite what the Lord reveals through John, that the destiny of every impenitent unbeliever is the second death, the lake of fire. Now, the word translated unbelieving could also be translated faithless, or those without faith. Without saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior, believing sinners, you are being given a universal and particular description of all those whose destiny is not the new heaven and new earth, but the lake of fire. No one is naturally born into this world believing the truth of the saving gospel. We are all naturally born into this world as unbelievers, suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, who need to face the truth that going on in unbelief is not something to boast about. So many foolish, faithless non-believers boast about their not believing the gospel, about not believing what the Bible declares about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, pray. Pray that every non-believer you know would face the truth that John has revealed to him and you as to the destiny for those who foolishly go on in their impenitent unbelief. Friends, I don't deny that this is sobering illumination. For how many show that they are unbelievers today, not just in the specific ways John illustrates such unbelief that I've yet to show you. For there are four universal descriptions of the sinners on the wide road that leads to the lake of fire, and four particular descriptions in this one verse. The third universal application is, but the idolaters. But the idolaters shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. All men outside of true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are idolaters. They have put something or someone, even themselves, in the place of the living, true, and only God of the Scriptures. An idolatrous, lost sinner doesn't have to bow down to a statue or picture of some false god to display that they are an idolater. How many Americans show that they are lost idolaters on the wide road leading to the lake of fire because they confess and believe something about God that His Word shows you is false, wrong, and idolatrous? Yet how many will try and escape the consequence of their ongoing impenitent idolatry by shifting the focus to other idolaters? Preacher, are you telling me that someone who has not heard of Christ will perish and will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone? Yes. But not because they have not heard of Christ, but because they have lived out their idolatrous lives in the very presence of the living God, who they have had no desire to find or worship in spirit and in truth. Because they have manifested the fourth and last universal characteristic of all fearful, unbelieving idolaters. Excuse me, sinners. Fourth but all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Why? No one is naturally born into this world believing the truth of the saving gospel. Because we all entered into this world as born liars. Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Why does a parent not have to teach their children how to lie? Because we're born liars. We suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We are all naturally born liars with no love for the truth unless delivered by the sovereign mercy and grace of God. All unbelieving, idolatrous sinners are liars because they tell them things in their unbelief that is not true. They tell themselves that their idolatry is not that serious. They tell themselves that they're being afraid to personally confess Christ is not that serious when it is eternally serious. God will understand if I don't confess the biblical Christ. Yes, he will understand that you are a liar refusing to face the truth of who you are and who he is and how he alone can make you right with him through his beloved Son. Oh, the sobering illumination of this one verse. When laid over the world you were saved out of, believer, if you have been saved out of it, would you be afraid to confess Christ if your dying life in this world was at stake? Have you fought the world, the flesh, and the devil, and their assaults of unbelief against your believing soul? Have you repented of the false and incorrect, yes, lying ideas you have embraced about yourself and the true and only God of the Scriptures? See the four universal descriptions of lost sinners on the wide road that leads to the lake of fire. But now, second, under my first heading, see John's declaring four particular types of sinners on the wide road that leads to the lake of fire in this one verse. For John only has revealed to him four characteristics of all unsaved sinners on the wide road leading to destruction: fearful, unbelieving, idolatrous, liars. Unless they repent and believe the gospel. But John also lists four, if I can put it this way, four particular sinners who, because they are, dare I say, this type of particular sinner, they are clearly showing that they are on the wide road leading to the lake of fire. Truth that these four particular types of lake of fire deserving sinners need to hear, but are foolishly and dangerously refusing to believe, even embracing the false, lying teachers who mock and reject what this one verse is telling them with respect to their destiny, so that they can continue on in their particular sins. Despite what it means for them if they do not repent and believe the saving gospel of Christ. The four I'm referring to, but the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, why does Jesus tell John to write down these four particular, dare I say, four types of sinners on the wide road leading to the lake of fire? Could it be because they were particularly prevalent sinners that the believers were exposed to in pagan, unbelieving Rome, even being saved out of these particular sins by the amazing grace and mercy of God? 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The first of these four particular type of sinners, but the abominable. But the abominable. Who are these particular abominable sinners? Those engaging in things that the God of Scripture has clearly revealed as abhorrent and an abomination in his sight. Dare I give one example of what I mean? And dear friends, it's prevalent in America today. Dare I say that one such abhorrent but not universal practice in Rome, but common and accepted, was the confusion of the sexes. The confusion of the sexes, male and female. Nero had a slave emasculated so he could be united to him in an abominable non-marriage. And friends, doing a word search of the words used in the Bible when translated into a different language can be a very interesting and illuminating study. For a form of the Greek word translated abominable in verse 8 is used in the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament called the Septuagint to translate the Hebrew word translated abomination in Deuteronomy 22 verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. It's abominable to the Lord thy God. Friends, the last thing any true, regenerate believer should do is hate anyone being deceived and misled by the abominable transgender movement. Why? Because those embracing it, those defending it, and those practicing such perversion are telling you what their destiny is unless they repent and believe the saving gospel of Christ. But the abominable, those who labor to rebel against and deny that there are only two sexes, male and female, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Unless they repent and believe the gospel. And one of the clearest displays of hate and not love towards those lying to themselves and others about the abominable alphabet soup transgenderism that is engulfing America is every edifice in the world flying the rainbow misusing flag. And friends, how many edifices dare to call themselves churches are flying that abominable flag? Second type of particular sinner that John gives, but murderers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Friends, it was the believing church that put an end to what was an accepted practice in pagan Rome of putting unwanted babies out to die. But how many, even in the churches today, want to hear that the murder of innocent babies is behind the vaccine industry? How many? How many have won the Nobel Prize for science or medicine whose hands are stained with the blood of babies murdered to further their demonic research? Plus, how many innocent lives were sacrificed to the armies of first century Rome to maintain its supremacy in the first century world until its fall in the fifth century? How many dead and dying sinners did believers see on the chosen method of execution in first century Rome, the crucifix? But how many professing believers in 21st century America want to face the number who have been murdered in the world over the last 70 years by the war machine called the United States Military Industrial Congressional Congress Complex by President Eisenhower in his last and final address to America as president, a warning totally ignored, as seen by the fact that America spends more on offensive weapons of unbridled murder than the next 11 nations of the world combined. And no sitting president since JFK has stood against this murder machine, because when JFK turned towards peace and not war, as seen in his speech at the American University in Washington, D.C. on June 10, 1963, he took multiple bullets from more than one direction in Dallas, Texas, 5 months later. all murderers who think that they can murder because the president has told them to will have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone unless they repent. Third type of particular sinner that John gives in this one verse, but the whoremongers. But the whoremongers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There was a time in America not that long ago, of 60 years is considered not that long ago, where a man and a woman living together outside the biblical covenant of marriage was called shacking up or living in sin. And don't even mention two men or two women doing this. But today, dare I say that whoremongering has become an accepted pandemic in America. Again, this is not to condemn those engaging in such accepted sin. They're condemned already. And this one verse soberingly illuminates what road those living in impenitent whoremongery are on. And the fourth particular sinner who displays, they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, and sorcerers. In a different form, the word sorcerers is translated witchcraft. Found in another biblical list describing those in the wide road leading to the lake of fire, Galatians 5, 19 and 20. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderings, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If they don't inherit the kingdom of God, what are they going to inherit? The lake of fire. But friends, you don't have to go to Salem, Massachusetts on Halloween to see how many are on the wide road leading to the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone because of the acceptance and practice of sorcery in America today. How many boast about being a witch or warlock in America today? How many shows push and promote sodomy? Excuse me, promote sorcery. Well, they also promote sodomy. How many TV shows promote sorcery on television? What series of books will even professing Christians let their young children read without batting an eye? What series of books? Harry Potter. Who's Harry Potter? How many schools in America will let children read the Harry Potter series of books, a series of books that has been copied over 500 million times and translated into 80 different languages? How many teachers in America will allow children to read this series of books, but have you arrested if you dare suggest that the child read the Bible? How many in political power are involved in sorcery? Who believes what is said about Skull and Bones or the Bohemian Grove? You're one of those conspiracy wackos. No, I'm someone who takes the sobering illumination of Revelation seriously. There are those in America and the world today who knowingly and willingly serve the devil and not the Lord. Believer, this one verse soberingly illuminates for you the world you were saved out of and are surrounded by. Will this lost world tell you what this one verse reveals and declares to you? No. For second and very briefly, do you see the sobering illumination of this one verse in its clear declaration of the destination for those whom this verse universally and particularly applies? But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is a second death after the first death that all will go through, that ushers all men except the small remnant alive at the return of Christ, that ushers all men into the presence of the Lord in heaven or hell awaiting the final judgment. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, and what follows this final judgment, the second death. Revelation 20, 13 to 15, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake and fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Believer, how thankful you should be for the sobering illumination of this one verse in Revelation 21, verse 8. Because it reveals to you the road that the Lord has saved you from being on. If he has. But how many in America, even in the edifices daring to call themselves churches, are clearly showing that they are on the wide road leading to the lake of fire, which is the second death, because they display, they endorse, or have no problem with one or more of the eight types of lost sinners who show by what they believe and what they are doing what road they are on. Have you been saved from the sobering road clearly described in this one verse that leads to the lake of fire? Friends, there are only two roads that matter. There's the road that leads to heaven through Christ alone, and there's the road that leads to hell and the lake of fire. What road are you on today? Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we bow before the absolute truthfulness of your word. And you decreed that you would reveal the destiny of men through your word. May we be a people who believe your word and thank you for the saving gospel of your Son, and are not ashamed of it today or any day. And please hear our prayers for the many we know who are described in this one verse. May you yet have mercy on them, even as you have had upon your people in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.